Evander Kane claws his way back into Winnipeg headlines, and we'll also talk about how the Jets are doing this week. The Bombers' playoff hopes are pretty much smashed. We'll talk about that. And championship sports in Winnipeg. We'll let you know how that turns out. This is Crossover Sportscast, Episode 8. I'm Sean, that's Joe Hassel, and we start right now.
Crossover.
Can they call the Las Vegas expansion team the
Money Phone?
No, well, that would be great.
Crossover Sportscast.
Brian Brohm's played his last year of football, I think. He's not even good at holding the football during a field goal.
Yeah, I know. All right.
With Sean Perrin.
I'm not good with, like, mathematical numbers.
And Jordan Hasselbeck.
Yeah, because you're usually not funny, so.
Oh.
Crossover.
What's up, Joe?
Not a heck of a lot. We're recording this at a different time of day, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
Yeah,
it's earlier than normal. Usually we're sitting in class right now, but class has been canceled.
You know what that means?
What does that mean?
Doing this early, and I got a lot of energy.
Oh, boy.
Not tired, no complaining about my pants being too tight, or my socks.
Well, you can take some energy from me then, because I'm not having it today. Not having it.
What's going on?
Well, I don't know. Mid-semester blues, is that a thing?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. We'll call it that, and we'll leave
sophomore
it at that.
Slump? That's a thing. Lirim Hairalahu can tell you all about that.
I'm not. You know, I never went to university, so I don't know the term sophomore. I don't know what it means.
It's second year.
Is that what it means?
Yeah. Hmm. And I know that just because of, like, actually, honestly, sophomore slump. See, I don't know what we would call ourselves, because typically you call a sophomore the second year of a four-year thing, so it's a high school thing too, right?
But we could also be like seniors.
That's exactly it. So I don't know if we're sophomores or if we're seniors.
Maybe
you should go by semester. So, like, because we're in semester three, we'd be juniors.
Juniors? Where does varsity fit into that?
There's no varsity.
There's no varsity?
Varsity is like, maybe it's the Canadian version of it. I only know the American one, which is,
Yank.
So freshman is year one. Yank. Yeah. sophomore is year two. Junior is your third year, and then senior is your fourth year.
Hmm.
So.
As the French say, that's très intéressant.
Don't use your French on me.
who's our corporate plug today?
Oh, man, we never came up with that, did we? We're coming up with one on the fly. Here, I got one. Coming up, just 2 weeks from now, I will be doing stand-up as part of Cree Comedy Night.
And I can't wait to hear you talk about babies and...
Yeah, that's my...
Whatever else you're going to talk about.
I'm going to ruin it. Say what I shouldn't say, I guess. Give a little bit away from my routine.
Tickets are $10. It's at Rumors.
Comedy Club, yeah.
I almost say Le Rendezvous every single time.
Is that what it used to be called?
No, I don't even... Like, Le Rendezvous was... I don't even think it's around anymore, but it used to be a venue where bands used to play.
Mm.
And back when Power 97 was around, back even further back when they were classic rock, they always used to plug that place as a venue of where bands that they would promote go to play. So I used to hear, growing up, I used to hear Le Rendezvous a lot. And I don't know, I guess Rumors, starting with the R, just always kind of gets me thinking about Le Rendezvous. But yeah, so it's at Rumors. What time is it at? What day? What are we going on?
I'm actually just looking up now. I should know this.
You're part of the talent.
You know what? I'm going to go to Kenton Larson's Twitter.
Do, 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 yeah. Do, do, do,
speaking of Jeopardy music, actually, that's what our skit that we're doing tomorrow in comedy writing is about. It's about North Korean Jeopardy.
Ah, cool. I'm coming to see that, actually.
You got to come to see that. And anyone who's listening, you're probably too late. But, you should come check it out tomorrow in the TV studio at 3 o'clock. And tomorrow being Wednesday. I think it's important to establish that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wednesday, October 28th, because, again, that's also important to establish. Okay, I'm just trying to find here. Kenton's got a lot of Star Wars stuff going on. We know what else is new. And some nice dead air there. That's good. You can't vamp for me. Okay, it's November 8th at, this is way closer than I thought it was. November 8th at 7:45 p.m.
November 8th?
November 8th.
Pray tell, when exactly is that?
November, like what day of the week you mean?
Yes. What day of what week are we looking at?
That's a Sunday.
Oh, I'm pulling out the calendar. Look at that. November 8th is not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Yeah. Jordan, yeah. How prepared are you to be funny?
Not prepared enough.
Yeah, because you're usually not funny, so.
Oh. Sometimes I'm not funny. Sometimes I'm funny. Sometimes the ball gets rolling. I'm just hoping that Sunday will be one of those days where everything I say is comic gold.
There's a few question marks in that class.
You might be surprised with some of the people that are the funniest.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I think Laura's going to be, like, hilarious.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I was going to say, she did a whole thing, her last bit, about where she went into extreme depth about how 69 works. Like, a 69, like,
God, that's so awesome.
And it was hilarious. It was great. And it was funny. It was one of those things where, like, at first it was just kind of weird and awkward, and then it just kept going and going, and then it became funny, and then it kept going and going. It got funnier until it just, like, the crowd was, like, the whole room was just crying laughing. It was so funny.
Any other highlights you want to throw out there? Who else is good?
I actually think Connor's pretty good. He talks about depression in a way that's funny.
Cool.
So how his parents, when they found, like, he was depressed, his parents sent him to become a Boy Scout, and they taught him to tie knots. I'm ruining people's bits. I shouldn't do that.
Well,
yeah,
no. Just
right?
just give highlights, though. Highlights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's that.
Anyone else you want to highlight?
You know what? I think I'll leave everything else up to that night. Yeah.
Yeah. So get your tickets. How do you get tickets for this, Jordan?
Well, you can always you can buy them at the door, actually, as a matter of fact. But I would recommend, like, you can call to Rumors Comedy Club and do so. But don't do that. Go to Kent and Larson. That way we, as a class, get a cut of that money.
Now, for those people who are subscribers to Crossover Sportscast, maybe they don't know who Kenton Larson is. Can they contact you through Twitter and reserve a ticket through you?
I mean, I guess you could. You could tell me. Yeah, my Twitter handle, which I've never given away, is Hasselbeck J, HASLBECKJ, at before comes before that. I forget how Twitter handles work. I'm used to emails now. I spend so much time doing emails. But if you want to talk to Kenton, who's a great person to talk to, he's the one selling them mostly. That's at Kenton Larson, at KentonLarsen. Kenton Larson.
There you go.
Yeah.
Corporate splug? Splug.
There's our corporate splug.
There's our corporate splug.
Corporate splugs.
It's one of those days for me, man. Like, I'm so glad that class got canceled, because, like, my brain, as of about 15 minutes ago, checked out. And I was sitting there being like, I don't want to do anything. I want to go home. Mm. But it's a good thing that we're doing this right now, because we've actually got quite a bit to talk about today.
We do. There's been some interesting news in the news lately.
News in the news. No shit. Imagine that.
News in the news. mostly. God, I'm having one of those days, too, where I can't speak.
I know, right?
Mid-semester
blues, man. I'm telling you. They're a real thing.
Yeah, for sure. News in the news about Evander Kane saying some derogatory things about his former team, Winnipeg Jets. Let's just right off the top tackle this.
He's throwing out the black card again.
Yeah.
He was on the front page of the Sun. It was quite a few years ago. I was still working at Crane Supply at the time, and a very avid newspaper reader, because what else do you do when you're a blue-collar roughneck like that? Mm-hmm. Breaking your hands in the warehouse, you read the newspaper, and you bitch to your friends about all the stupid things that are going on in town. And one of those stupid things happened to be Evander Kane. Now, then I can't remember what exactly prompted him to throw the race card out. Do you?
Well, it was basically just so he was in a there was a lot of fan dislike out there for him.
Yeah,
I don't remember what he had done recently. He had so many different little incidents here and there. He was in the news in a poor way, and the fans were not having it from him. And part of the reason that people were so critical of him is the fact that he wasn't producing, and he never produced.
Yeah, and he was – well, and they were paying him to produce. They were paying him good money.
They paid him the same amount of money as John Tavares.
Right, yeah.
Evander Kane was not performing to the level that John Tavares performed.
No, and that was one of my biggest arguments against him the whole time that he was here was, you're being paid on par with an A-class hockey player.
Yeah.
And you're B at best. Like that's being generous.
I know. And you generous. Can see the potential there.
Of course there's potential. That like a guy like him, he's got strength, he's got size, and he's a decent hockey player, and he's got a lot of speed. He seems like the work ethic isn't there. There's always something for him to bitch about. And just an overall bad attitude. And Don Cherry said it best, it's not 'cause you're black, it's 'cause you're a dummy.
Is that what Don Cherry actually said?
Well, like, I'm paraphrasing. Okay. But yeah, that's what...
Actually, you should totally find that clip and play that. That'd be really interesting.
I'll try to dig it up, yeah.
Now, Evander Kane, you know, of all the guys, I have been in your corner since the beginning. When you had the pile of dough, I said, he's just a kid. I showed you walking in how great you were walking in. Now, what you do, I had a shift there like 2 weeks ago, how great you are. What you did with come in to a team meeting, everybody's got a shirts and ties on, and you come in a tracksuit, you shouldn't be ashamed of yourself. You're in a fork road right now. You are a jerk right now, and don't think you can fool me with the operation. Their operation is they didn't want you around. And what you put that team through, watch Wheeler right here. This is what they think of you right now.
There's a standard that everyone needs to live up to. We're professionals. We make a lot of money, and we're expected to uphold a certain standard, and, you know, that's the code we live by. And, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, if you don't like it, then there's other places to go. This is the way we do things.
And you know what? They're hanging by a thread, and you disrupt the team right now. You're the fork in the road, like I said. You can either be a jerk. You're going to got 4 months to listen and think about it. Either be a jerk or be a good hockey player. If not, as like Wheeler says, get out of the game. Smarten up and
Don
don't Churin. Be a jerk.
The coach's corner, Don. Good stuff on Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, but yeah, he did go off on him on coach's
he totally
corner.
Should.
Actually, I think we even played the clip on when we were not even the press box.
I think you're right.
I think we
right.
did, and you know what? I think that makes it easier to find because we probably tweeted out under our press box Twitter account.
Hard
so I'm gonna look that up, and we'll slide it right in here. But yeah, I mean, honestly, it's not because you're black. It's because you're stupid and you're always bitching about shit.
Yeah.
Get over yourself, Evander, and just focus on hockey because really you could be good, but at this point you're not. You're focused too much on money push-ups and money phones and, you know.
It's frustrating. It's really hard.
Getting hurt a lot.
I mean, there was so much potential there. There is still so much potential there. And I saw an interesting little, I guess, what do you call it, a caricature? Not really. It was like an editorial image picture of a... somebody saying, you know, be good, essentially, with a guy wearing a Kane jersey underneath essentially what is a big weight, a giant anvil, you know, saying that he had the weight of the city on his shoulders. And
yeah,
guess what? He's in Buffalo now, and he's still having issues. And then there's been some really great quotes from people like Maurice and Ladd.
Yeah.
About, you know, like, what was Ladd's quote there? I was signed out of Twitter. What a dummy I am.
Well, he basically said that, you know, the Jets are having fun here now, and they've gotten over it, and Kane should get over it, too.
That's essentially what he said, yeah.
That's essentially what Ladd said, yeah.
Yeah, and he's totally right. I mean, it's like, why are you dwelling in the past? And then he accuses the city again of saying, he says, you know, like, other players got away with more than what I did, than what I got away with, or what I didn't get away with. And the only thing is that they have a different tone of skin, is essentially what he said, paraphrasing again. And I look at that, and you know what? Maybe he has a point. But at the same point in time, Bufflin is probably the most popular player in this city. And it's not because of his skin color. It's because of his attitude.
Yep.
The same reason why Kane was so hated in this city was because of his attitude. He has a horrible attitude.
Yep.
So, and that's a tricky topic to talk about because, you know, you don't want to seem, I mean, offensive or anything like that or, you know, be in the wrong. And maybe Kane, there is some validity to what Kane is saying, but I just think that his sweeping statement is unfair and it's wrong.
There's no validity to what he's saying because he's not giving any specific examples. He's just saying, stuff happened, people hate me because of the color of my skin. Well,
yeah.
But he's also saying, essentially what he's trying to say is that white hockey players were getting away with things in Winnipeg that he wasn't.
And that might be true.
Give at least, and if you can't give a specific example, then try to be a little bit more specific. You can't just paint the whole situation with a broad brush like that, red on the wall, and just say, yep, that's how it was and that's how it is.
Yeah.
Because as far as I'm going to call it, you're full of shit.
Yeah. I get that. That's fair. But at the same point in time, he might have something to his point. A white hockey player stands out, I think, a lot less than a black hockey player does just simply by the fact that they look differently, right? I mean, you see a black player on the ice, it stands out a lot more than every other player who's white.
Well, I mean,
right?
there was a point in time in the league when there was like one and then like five, and now there's like a handful, you know?
Yeah.
So like they're a lot rarer.
I think a lot of what it comes down to is the fact that, and maybe I'm wrong about this, maybe some of the white players he was referring to were the high-profile players like Blake Wheeler or Andrew Ladd. I don't know.
But what are they getting away with? That's my big question. What is he talking about?
To me, I think a lot of it is the fact that, like, so Evander Kane was supposed to be a star on this team. He was supposed to be potentially our number one player.
Yeah.
And that's why he was so heavily covered, right? Just like Buffalo is so heavily colored and covered. And guess what? things are getting weird. Before Bufflin came to Winnipeg, the season before he came to Winnipeg in the offseason, he had that DUI for boating.
Mm, yep.
Remember?
Yep, I do.
And, you know, like we were all like, okay, interesting, right? And honestly, the fans before he'd even played a single game had his back, I think. I saw signs of support here. I didn't see any questions about Bufflin. Everybody was excited. Maybe that's because everyone had the blinders on a little bit and was excited about hockey. And there's nothing to be critical of as far as play goes. But
well, also, Bufflin had kind of made a name for himself beforehand, whereas I don't think Kane really did. Like, people watched Bufflin win the Stanley Cup with Chicago the year before.
That's true.
And they probably, if you're like me, you remember the time when he took out two guys who came skating full tilt at him when he was standing still and fucking knocked them both down.
Which time is that? Because he's been in mail multiple times.
Well, no, I know, but like the specific time, it was, I can't remember who they were playing, but it was deep in the playoffs. It was either the West Final or the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah, either way,
yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a different situation with Bufflin because, like I said, he was already an established value player, whereas Kane was not.
To me, I guess my simple one-line statement would be, it's not because he's black.
It's not. It's completely not. And it's totally asinine to sit there and say that that's what it is. The guy has no idea how he looks to other people. He just goes about his business kind of selfishly, saying whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah.
And then he expects, you know, he expects what? Sympathy?
Well, I think
remorse? What does he want?
I think he just wants unconditional love.
Well, it's not going to happen, man.
Yeah.
You dug your grave
here,
Kane.
You're not our son, Kane.
Yeah.
You don't get unconditional love.
Yeah.
You actually had a really interesting theory, though, about why he was so disliked in Winnipeg. Because, like, he had a Hollywood attitude, a Hollywood lifestyle, kind of, or wanted that sort of thing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I saw pictures going around on Twitter now, like, all over the place because of this whole resurfacing. But there was one where he was standing with Sarah Oleski doing an interview. And he's wearing a sweatshirt half zipped open. And it's like, who are you, man?
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to be a hockey... Everyone else... They do an interview with Sarah Oleski. They're either, like, dressed in their gear from the game. They're just coming off the ice.
Yeah.
Or they're wearing like a suit or whatever. You know what I mean? So yeah, there's definitely a Hollywood aspect. It's like him coming to practice dressed in a tracksuit, right? Having Bufflin throw it in the shower, and then he takes off for so long that coach Pomo calls him up and says, "Hey, you know what? You've been gone too long. Don't even bother coming to this game." You know what I mean?
There's just like an endless list of things that you can bring. Anyway, in a blue collar city like Winnipeg, that kind of attitude is not. I don't know if it's not accepted. It's certainly not appreciated, and that's part of the problem here. Just like we're not appreciative of his money stacked on his back.
Yeah.
Like, there's money in the city, like people always say, like Kenton always says. People like that, they always say. But the thing is, we're not flashy. We're not, you know, we don't drive around in Lamborghinis.
Yeah, we're definitely not flashy, but also, like, the average, I don't know how to say this. I'm not good with, like, mathematical numbers, but I feel like there's more people in this city who make... like a lower middle class salary, and then the people, like, there are rich people in this city, but there's fewer of them compared to other cities with comparable
populations. I think that even those rich people are not so showy here.
That could be too.
I think that's part of it too.
Yeah. I mean, the most expensive house that was ever sold in Winnipeg just got sold. I think it was, what, $10 million? Like, that's it, man.
Not much. We have a low housing market, too, but still.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you think about other cities, let's not exactly bring up Hollywood here, but, you know, to bring up Hollywood, $10 million wouldn't even go.
Let's compare it to other Canadian cities. Like, let's compare it to, like, say, Vancouver, Toronto, Calgary, whatever you want to compare it to. All those cities would be, I mean, they would blow Winnipeg out of the water, right?
The basic, yeah, I mean, the average Winnipegger can't really go to Vancouver and do the same job here
for
the same amount of money and live in Vancouver. You have to commute from, like, Abbotsford or whatever, you know. I don't even know it that well, but, like, you can't live downtown Vancouver for $30,000 a year. You just can't do it.
My property at my house, it's 5 acres. We did, like, some, like, math or whatever on what that would be worth if it was in downtown Toronto, which, of course, it's going to be completely ridiculous because it's 5 acres of land, whether there's something on it or not.
Yeah, you're never
it's going to be ridiculous, but we equated it to about, I think it was not Toronto, it was What's that suburb right outside of it? It's like Mississauga. That's it.
Well, there's lots of suburbs.
Yeah. I'm talking about Mississauga, though. Yeah, yeah. It was like $5 million. So it was like $1 million an acre. Just for the land. But that's quite insane. That's circumstance too, right? I mean, where when we got the house, they were selling the lots near us because we already had the house on the lot, so we didn't buy the acreage or whatever. But it was $20,000 an acre, which is nothing, right?
Jesus.
Yeah. So in other words, it was for a plot of land. It was $100,000 for 5 acres.
Yeah.
So it's like nothing. But that still seemed like insane to me. That's like you have $100,000. You spent $100,000 on property, and you still don't have a building.
Yeah.
You haven't started.
Yeah.
And one more thing I want to bring up about the Kane too. Like you look at this. So do you remember when he did like the body? You remember the bodies issue for like, is it Sports Illustrated or Sportsnet or something? Like somebody does like a bodies issue every year.
A bodies issue? What do you mean? What's a bodies
like,
issue?
A bodies issue where it's like they essentially take photos of athletes essentially naked.
Oh, okay.
Doing like athletic things.
So it's kind of like the swimsuit issue, but like for women?
I guess. But yeah. It's to show like how strong these athletes really are with nothing on.
So it appeals to men as well in a different kind of sense.
Yeah, though. And there's women in it too, right? There was actually, to me, the most impressive one was the female shot putter. Or was it she was a hammer tosser? One of those two things, right?
So hammer tosser.
Sport I really know nothing about. You like that, eh? Female hammer tosser.
I do like that. Female hammer tosser,
but
yeah.
She was so incredibly powerful, like clearly in this image. It was just unbelievable. Anyway, Kane did this, I believe. He definitely did do this kind of a shot, and he looked very muscular, and he was very serious about it. Tyler Seguin did it a year later. He did it in a very different way. He had like a toque on. He had like he was riding the Zamboni, just looking like a goof, having a good time. And we appreciate that kind of an attitude, and people don't like Seguin. There's a lot of people who don't like Seguin. But the thing is, people here appreciate that kind of an attitude way more than the serious, I'm a big deal attitude that Evander Kane has.
Right. But, okay, I mean, in the... That's a tough one,
such a similar situation, but such a different reaction to it.
But that's a tough one too, though, because you don't know how much of what Kane was doing there was being directed to him by the photographer.
But he still made the choice to do that.
To do the photo shoot? Sure, yeah, yeah. But I mean, that being said, like we're learning right now, like as the photographer, videographer, whatever, you're in charge, right? You're the director. You're the one who's ultimately responsible for how this thing looks. So maybe maybe the photographer told them to look like a douchebag. Who knows?
Oh, they didn't want him to look like a douchebag. Why would they say that? Look like a douchebag?
Maybe the guy didn't like
him. I'm sure that as the subject of the photo, he has a lot of say in what he is okay with and not okay with showing.
Well, I mean, that all depends on contractual things. Either way, this is all super theoretical.
I guess I just really want to get like, I just want to clear the air or whatever, vent about Evander Kane because he just makes me so mad.
Oh, yeah. No argument here. He does make me mad. And the fact that like after a season and a half of being in Buffalo, I think he's pissed about Buffalo. Buffalo's not a good team to be on.
He's also not a nice city to live in.
It's not, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was so funny that it's like, if there was a city you would want to move to out of Winnipeg, your first choice would not be Buffalo.
Nope.
There's no question with that. He wanted to go to maybe Florida, probably, and by Florida I mean like Tampa or the Florida Panthers. What he probably wanted to go to was in California. He probably wanted to play for Anaheim.
Anaheim, LA, Kings, San Jose.
San Jose, someone like that.
And even maybe in New York.
Yeah. Big city.
Yeah.
Maybe even in the desert. Somewhere where he can party it up, Arizona.
Yeah.
Party it up without getting noticed.
Phoenix has,
right by Vegas.
Not a lot of fans out there. It's close to Vegas, and they've got
you can get away with whatever you want.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So imagine if they do drugs in that city. Imagine if
they
do the expansion and they have an expansion team in Vegas and Evander Kane's on that team. That'd be interesting, right?
I think the NHL would be flooded with money phones.
Can they call the Las Vegas expansion team the
money phone?
No. Well, that'd be great. Las Vegas money phone? You heard it here first. Las Vegas money phone. No, I'd like to be called the Las Vegas rehab. Because you know that their players are going to be in rehab.
Yeah. What about the slots?
That just sounds way too sexual.
Vegas slots.
Yeah. Quebec gets the team back. They're going to call them the Nordiques.
Oh, I hope so, man. I really hope they call them the Nordiques. Nordiques is a great name.
Yeah,
they had a great logo, too. Very simple, but I liked it. I like their color scheme. I like the fact that they had the fleur-de-lis all over it. I like the Nordiques, man.
I like the Nordiques, too.
I hope they get the nod. I really do.
It's so funny. I look back at, like, say, the 96 season, which is the one I always go to because I had NHL 96 for my Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah.
Actually, it was my Super Nintendo. I always thought that the teams with the best jerseys were the teams that were like defunct like 5 years later. It was the Winnipeg Jets. I thought it had great jerseys.
Yep.
The Hartford Whalers.
Oh yeah,
unbelievable!
Awesome logo too.
Great logo. And I never
I never saw the. There's something in the negative space. It's an H. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I never noticed the H until just a few years ago.
It's so
actually.
Well done.
Yeah, it really
the
is.
The Quebec Nordiques was another one of those top jerseys and logos and everything like that. It was to me the Minnesota North Stars.
Oh yeah, love the North
what
Stars.
What great
too.
Colors.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed that the Wild don't have those colors.
Well,
although
it's because
this
it's
year
the Dallas
the
Stars kind of kept it.
Yeah, but they have different colors now.
Now they do. Yeah.
This year for the Winter Classic, the Wild's jersey are the North Stars colors. That's been leaked.
Sorry, say that again.
For the Winter Classic, yep. You know how they do that Winter Classic every year?
Yeah.
Or they do,
oh, the
now
Wild
they do
are
like
going
10
to
of them.
The Wild are doing the
they're
North Stars.
And they're wearing the North Stars colors on their jerseys.
Yeah,
which I think
cool.
is awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
So.
And I've been waiting ever since the Jets came back for them to do a throwback day where the Jets wear the old Jets jerseys.
So the tough thing is they can't do that because the Coyotes own those rights.
Oh, they
image.
Would
they
too.
Do, yeah.
But
so here's the worst part too: if you buy an old school Jets jersey, you're supporting the Coyotes.
Hold on though, why?
Because the money goes to them.
Why do they own? Why do they? How do they own the jersey if the NHL ended up owning the name? How do they separate that, the name from the jersey?
Naming rights are different than jersey rights.
Is it?
Imaging rights, yeah. Mm. And actually, the Coyotes still own part of the Winnipeg Jets name, too. But they just don't own this affiliation, like the one that we have
here. I don't know if that's true. If they partly owned it, then it would have been more of a hassle to get the Jets name again. What I read was that the NHL exclusively owned the name of the Jets, and then they gave it to
okay.
us.
So maybe
or
the
we bought
NHL,
it from them, I don't know.
Maybe the NHL owns the names of all teams, and that's the way it works. I know that the imaging
be, yeah.
and the jerseys and all of that stuff is owned by the Phoenix Coyotes franchise, or the Arizona Coyotes, if I am to speak correctly, because I forgot they changed their name.
Yeah.
It's a year later, and I still haven't changed.
Who cares?
Still call them Phoenix.
They're still the Desert Dogs.
Yeah.
Well, you want to talk about the game? I've got a stat sheet up here.
So you're talking about the game that's coming up when? Like
game.
Most recently?
Yeah, the Wild. The game against the Wild.
Yes. Let's talk about the Wild, but like, before we talk about the Wild real quickly, what did you think about what other games were there in this last week? There were really none. There was a game on Friday, right? That was it because they had that big break. So they've only had two games since. It's been Friday and Sunday.
Yeah, they had those six.
And they played the Blues, I believe. No, Blues, I went to that game on last
the
Sunday.
Blues?
The Blues? The Blues.
Is that the character from the Jungle Book?
Hey, it's Baloo.
The St. Louis Blues.
Look for the bare necessities.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so they played... T-Bay on Friday, and they lost that one in overtime. I actually didn't get a chance to watch that one because I was out doing something. What was I doing on Friday, Jordan?
What were you doing on Friday?
That wasn't the Bomber game. The Bomber game was on Saturday.
Yeah, it's true.
What was I doing on Friday?
Nothing.
Oh, you know what? I went out to a movie with my girlfriend.
Oh, yep. How sweet.
I know.
So who did they play, sorry?
They played Tampa Bay on Friday, Minnesota yesterday. And
Tampa Bay on Friday, right. They played Tampa Bay and they lost in overtime.
Yeah, they lost in overtime.
Bufflin came out and said that he thinks that 3-3 is a joke.
That's right. And I thank Christ that he said that because I totally agree with him.
I got a big fight with my girlfriend about their 3-3 strategy. That's a voice crack.
What do you got now?
20?
You're at like 102?
No, we stopped counting.
Well, it's an unofficial count now. You're at 102.
All right.
So, I don't like the 3-3. I especially don't like the way that we lost that game, a 3-on-1 and a bad change.
There was no bad change.
It was a bad change.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was. They changed. Two Jets went off while all three Tampa Bay Lightning were rushing. It turned out to be a 3-on-1. It was a bad change.
They didn't change. I watched the replay a million times. I fought with my girlfriend about this a lot.
When you see the view from behind Pavlik.
They didn't change.
Yes, they did. There was two guys skating off while one defender was back. They changed.
I really want to show you this video because they didn't change.
Do it.
Yeah? You want me to pull it up?
Yep.
Okay, real simply though. So what happened there, and if you want to blame anybody, blame Andrew Ladd. He had possession of the puck. Ryan Little was in the corner waiting for a pass from Ladd. Ladd gave the puck up and then it was a 3-on-1. So.
And then they went off.
They didn't go off. It doesn't matter because they scored on the 3-on-1 anyway.
Yeah.
So what am I going to... What should I look up here? Winnipeg Jets lose to Tampa Bay Lightning?
Because I remember after that game, Maurice started talking about strategies in the 3-on-3 and how the only strategy you can really come up with is how and when you do line changes. You pretty much have to match the other team. Or the other team has to match you, depending on where you're playing.
Yeah.
That conversation wouldn't have come up if it wasn't a goal that came off of a bad change.
That's not necessarily true. Because he could talk about how that could just be his way of saying that there's pretty much no strategy when it comes to 3-on-3 hockey, which is what Bufflin's complaint is, basically.
It's Bufflin's complaint, yeah, but I don't know. Media scrum afterwards, they were talking about
line changes. Media scrum.
I just got some highlights on the website.
I'm having trouble finding this game.
That's all right.
You'll take my word for it? Yeah, you will.
I'm not taking your word for it, no. No, I'm not taking your word for it. We'll post it on social media. That's your department.
Sure it is, yeah.
We'll post it on social media.
I don't know. All right. I remember my crossover.
I want to get into the Minnesota Wild game. So
yeah, let's do that.
This game started, and you've got the number on how quick that goal was. Was it 10 seconds?
10 seconds in. Yeah.
10 seconds in.
It wasn't even Zucker's fastest goal ever. He scored a goal earlier in his career. 8 seconds in.
That's right. You were saying that, too.
Which is interesting.
And, that is very interesting. However, I think it was before the four-minute mark into the game. Maybe it was at 2-1. Is that about right?
Yeah. It was 2-1 for 2-1 Jets. They came back right away. I have my notes actually from the game itself. I think I'll actually pull them up right now. My notes from the game that I used for the...
So Trouba had a bit of a rough go that game. Hey, okay? He finished the minus one, but like at midway he was minus two. At one point he was minus two, and two giveaways, no takeaways. Not the worst showing in the giveaway department though. Ben Chiarot had three.
So
did Dustin Bufflin, actually,
there's
giveaways.
There's some interesting talk about Jacob Trouba this year a little bit about how I've heard people talking about how they think that he's got more potential than he's exuding, which is possible. But the thing is people are talking about it because the reason he's not exuding that potential is because he's babysitting Mark Stewart, which I know you as a big Stewart fan might not like to hear. But they're saying that because Stewart plays aggressively and makes so many mistakes, that Trouba can't be his true self. He has to play more defensively than he normally would be.
There's a lot of Stewart haters out there.
There are a lot of Stewart haters. Yeah. I love Stewart.
I love Stewart too, but he does make a lot of really bad decisions. That's his style of play. It's a very old school style of play. And some might argue that there's no room in today's hockey for that kind of play. I disagree. I think guys like Stewart give teams their character, and he's a big part of the character of the Jets as being a take no shit, big and tough kind of team. That first goal, though, I don't know. I didn't see Stewart. Like, it kind of all happened so fast. What I did see was Trouba kind of falling all over himself as Zucker kind of undressed him a bit there. But I mean, I guess you could make the argument either way. I could see how Stewart would kind of leave Trouba hanging out to dry. The only solution I'd say is to tell for sure is to
separate them.
Yeah.
Question is, here's the problem. How do you feel about separating them? Because like at the same point in time, you've got, Bufflin and Enstrom, right? They're a pair. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
And then Myers.
And Bufflin was actually singing the praises of, Enstrom, in one of the post game or maybe mid game interviews saying, that he just makes everything easier for him.
Enstrom's clearly very smart. He's good with the puck.
Yeah, super.
Here's
smart.
The funny thing, though. You watch next time the team that they're playing against, whoever it is, whether it's tonight when they're playing against. Who are they playing against
today? L.A.
L.A. You watch when they dump and chase because they always dump it into Enstrom's corner.
Yeah.
Because they know they can beat him on the corner.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but that's
because he's so small.
Well, and that's probably why he's with Bufflin, right?
I guarantee you gotta
balance it out. What he does have as strength is, like you mentioned, his hockey smarts.
He's very smart.
He's also got a really good stick. And don't go there.
I wasn't going there. I was you saying he got a really good stick. It's like, yeah, it's a 10-foot long stick.
Sure, yeah, it's a 10-foot long stick, but he uses
stick
it well.
On the team.
Yeah, but he uses it well. And that's totally fine if he wants to have that size of a stick, then that's all the power to him. Cuz you know, you can't make it in the world with a small stick. You just can't.
You would know, wouldn't you?
I would know, yeah. Because I go nowhere. No, I'm just kidding.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah, I knew you were. I knew you were.
So what do you have next? What's next on the docket for this game, real quickly? How about the fact that the Jets got up 5-1 at one point in time, and their lead slowly got eaten away?
And I thought that they were going to lose it, too. Who was it that took that penalty late in the game?
That was Bufflin.
Jesus, that was
Bufflin. With 2 minutes left?
Yeah. 2 minutes left, down by a goal. Bufflin takes a stupid penalty. Was that the one where he knocked a guy down, then hit him in the head? Yeah. And then Bufflin even argued it, too.
I thought...
He argued it. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
I've actually heard quite a bit of people arguing it.
No, there's no argument that can be made.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
I don't know. It looked like a dirty play to me, too. I'd have to rewatch it again. But, yeah, it looked like a dirty play to me. So... But anyway, Jets managed to hold off the Wild and win.
Yeah, and it was an exciting end too because
It was an exciting game. Normally, games against the Wild aren't that exciting.
Yeah, the power play ended with 8 seconds left in the game, so it's essentially the rest of the game. You got a power play. You're down by one, and obviously Minnesota pulls the goalie, so they're up by two guys now, right?
Yeah.
And somehow, like, our penalty killing was phenomenal. They were chasing Minnesota was chasing the puck a lot.
We did
of
get
it.
Scored on the penalty kill one time.
I mean, no, I mean that one specific penalty kill to win the game. Yeah, that was a good one, yeah.
For sure. So you know what I've done here? I have, and this might not actually be good enough. Yeah, no, I got it here. This is the goal. Okay, so this is the before the goal. So I'm talking here, we're talking here about the Tampa Bay-Winnipeg game here, where I'm talking about the 3-on-3 goal that Tampa Bay scored. So let's see. Let's watch this. Let's break this down real quickly, Sean. And I'm just doing this because I'm doing it out of spite. So here are. Lads got the puck. Screws up. Takes it. Gives it away.
And
three guys getting out.
No.
Did you see guys coming off the bench?
You'll see right here. You'll see. Wait 1 minute here. Those two guys that came in there? That was Little and Ladd. They did not change.
I saw a guy
come off
the bench.
Look at back. That's Ladd.
That's not Ladd.
You see the C on his jersey.
No, I can't see that. I saw a guy come off the bench. It was a change. It was a give up. They gave up the puck, then he changed. I saw guys come off the bench.
Either way, it
either way.
No, what? Either way, it's not important because it was
it
a
is
three.
Important.
It
was that was the whole point of the argument.
But the thing is, the change wouldn't have made a difference. Had they not changed, what would have been different?
Technically, it wouldn't have made a difference, but. Well, okay. The key to that play is the giveaway by Ladd.
Exactly.
Right. But the other guy who was
Little.
Out there with him?
Little.
So where's Little in all that? Why isn't he hustling back? Why is he going to the bench?
Well, see, here's the thing: is Little hustles to the bench from where he was. I'll show you real quickly here. So they take it down, real simply. All right, we're gonna have to watch this shit again. Time's up. Ehlers. Oh no! I didn't score on the breakaway. Hit the post. There's me narrating the game. So here's the thing. Pause it right here. So Ladd's got the puck here. Little is down in the corner because Ladd has the goddamn puck. And he knows that if Ladd makes the play, real simple, two guys back there, one guy here, Ladd skates to the net, great opportunity, right?
See, and
if Ladd doesn't screw that up, there's a great opportunity for a goal there.
And Maurice,
Ladd screwed up.
Maurice was also talking about doing a strategy with that kind of situation where it might have made more sense for Little if he's down deep in the corner, it might have made more sense for Little to come in the first door and have his replacement player go out the far door in the neutral zone.
It's true.
That way you're kind of like jumping space a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So and that was part of the conversation that Pomo was having with the media after that. But I mean, essentially it comes down to Ladd's giveaway and Little. Does he go to the bench? Does he not go to the bench? Does he hustle down? I don't think it would have mattered where he went at that point.
Essentially, what I'm saying is if you're somebody to blame or there's a problem with this play, it's 100%, in my opinion, on Andrew Ladd. Goalie is not expected to make a save on 3-on-1, and you can't blame Tyler Myers for playing that the way he did. He's got three defenders to cover.
Well, he stood right in the... He pretty much stood right in the middle and went down trying to stop the pass. But yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's just a tough one.
It's a bad play by Ladd. That's it. That's all it is.
It's a really tough one.
Back to the Minnesota game real quickly. So what are we talking about now? What have we not talked
about? I don't know. I got
some stuff from after the game. So Drew Stafford had a two-goal night, and there was a little bit of talk about him from Paul Maurice, interestingly enough. Reporters ask him, you know, so what do you think of Drew Stafford? What do you think about Drew Stafford so far? He's had a really hot start to the season. And Paul Maurice is like, yeah, he's been really good. But that Adam Lowry, he's been really good.
Actually, you
should play that clip if you can find it, if you can do that.
I'll try to dig it up.
But and it's just really funny to me that they ask him about Drew Stafford, and he immediately goes on a rant about how great Adam Lowry is, which is fine and fair because Adam Lowry does a job that is often overlooked. He's a very unsung hero because he plays does a really good job of playing the other team's number one guy.
Like, it's such a Paul Maurice thing to do too. Like I know I brought it up during this show during the preseason, but people were media people, I can't remember who it was, they were asking him who does he think is gonna make the team, and he goes, yeah, you know that Blake Wheeler guy, he's really impressed, and I think he's got a good shot at making the team.
He's like that, which is great. But this wasn't really him being a smartass. This was just him being him. So this is him just like deciding that, nah, you know, I don't really feel like answering the question that's been asked. I just feel like talking about whatever I feel like talking about.
Yeah, I've got a raw file here that's like 11 minutes long, so we're obviously not going to go through that here. But still more things to talk about the Minnesota game. Blake friggin' Wheeler.
Yeah.
How about that? 8, or what has he got, 9 points now?
It's eight consecutive games of points, yeah, which is a career-long streak for him, and also a franchise record for the most points scored consecutively for a player.
I just want to pull up his numbers right quick because I think... Really.
And Wheeler's been a guy who's notoriously been a slow starter. So here's my question to you. Does this mean that Blake Wheeler is just like having a great year, a great start, and this is the way we expect to see Blake Wheeler, and this, everything's going good? Or is this another slow start for Blake Wheeler, and he's really going to blow up in the second half?
Oh, I hope it's the latter. Right? I really hope it's the latter. You're right. He does notoriously start slow, but his slow point has usually come November. Like, he has terrible Novembers. Like last year, I don't think he got a single point all November.
But he didn't get any points in October either. Like he was really bad.
I think he got a few, but it was still slow. Yeah.
And then he turns it up around Christmas and past Christmas break.
So right now he's got 11 points. Do the math right quick here. 11 points in 8 games.
Yeah.
That means he's on pace for what?
Yeah, you want me to do that?
He's
on pace for about 114 points.
Yeah?
That's about what he's on pace for, yeah.
I'll take your word for that.
Yeah.
Ehlers, 6 points in eight games. What's that? What's his pace
six
there?
6 pace in 8 games?
Yeah, six points in eight games.
That puts him on pace for about 60 to 70 points in a season.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this team's looking good.
Which is a really good rookie season.
Stafford with 5 goals and 2 assists so far, man. Mm-hmm. He's second to only Wheeler on the team.
Good stuff from Stafford, yeah. Happy to see the way he's performing, really good.
Me too.
Yeah, no. Everything looks good. Everything's good.
Everything is good.
One thing I want to highlight real quickly, and actually maybe you can find this clip online too. You should look it up real quickly, see if you can. Brian Little did a post-game press conference, and the first question he was asked was... So what did you think when they scored 10 seconds in? And his quote was, wow, I thought we had a lot of time.
That's good.
Which is great. Simple answer. Very funny. Just like, I liked it.
They've got Stafford, Hutchinson, and Wheeler post-game.
So no Little, eh?
No Little,
that's
yeah.
That's too bad.
But, I mean, you pretty much just summed it up what he said.
Yeah. It's funny coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Because he's got that really Canadian accent.
Oh, yeah, he does, hey? It's so funny.
I love Little. Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's been a hot start to the Jets season. And I saw somebody bemoaning on Twitter yesterday the fact that each division is automatically 3 teams from each division make the playoffs, and how the Central Division is so much stronger than the Pacific Division, and that's horseshit. That's the way it is. I mean, you look at a team like Anaheim, who has, what, collectively 5 or 6 goals?
Is that it?
That's it.
I don't know anything about the Ducks this year. Are they really that bad?
I can Google it really quickly.
Yeah, I'll find that.
I'll find that stat for you. But they, so far, they've been just atrocious.
I love it. And it's so much better, too, because they just swept us in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, hey, a terrible Anaheim team, to me, that's fair.
So they have 6 goals for.
Wow.
6 goals for in 8 games.
I think Wheeler has more than that. Yeah. Blake Wheeler alone.
Like yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's just, and the crazy thing is they still have a win, and they're ahead of Calgary. I think Calgary's going to have a dead year this year. I don't think Calgary's is what they were last year. People know what they're looking for now. Got to cover that triplets line, but you know what I mean, with Goudreau and Monahan, that line with Hudler.
You mean Johnny Chess?
Johnny Chess, yeah. Johnny Boxing.
Johnny's not going to be boxing anybody, man. Yeah. That guy's way too small to be boxing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, and Arizona is leading the Pacific Division, and we all know that, come on, Arizona is like...
That's not going to last.
So here's the thing. Arizona is leading the Pacific Division with 11 points. Minnesota is out of the playoff picture right now. Now it doesn't matter at this point in the season.
They're
in 6th place in the Central Division with 11 points. 6th place in the Central Division with 11 points, and they're not in a playoff spot. They wouldn't make playoffs today because of the way that's laid out.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. I mean, it's like everybody says, and it is true. The Central Division is tougher. There's better teams.
Central Division is the best division in hockey.
Better teams, and they win more often. And it's awesome to see the Jets finally being able to compete in this division, because everybody was worried. They couldn't even make the playoffs when they were in the Southeast back before the reform. And everybody was worried. Now you move them west. The Western Conference is typically tougher. The Central Division is typically tougher. And no one knew quite how this is going to work out. People were worried. However, good general managing has prevailed. We've got good young talent. The thing that I'm actually quite worried about, though, is there's no news on the Ladd and Byfuglien front. I wouldn't be super sad to see Byfuglien get traded as long as the return is worth it.
That's exactly it. We need return. Yeah. And I still believe that one of those two guys is going to get signed, and I still think that Ladd is the guy that gets signed.
Yeah.
Seemingly, that group has so much cohesiveness with the leadership that's there, and I know that Byfuglien's a big part of that leadership.
Yeah, he is.
And to lose him would just be heartbreaking and horrible.
He's at least part of the morale
of
the
team. Man, I just don't know what you do. I want both those guys, but at the same point in time, if you sign them both, and they can, they have the money, they have the cap space available. The problem is if they sign them, guess who's coming up for contracts soon? You got Mark Scheifele, you got Jacob Trouba. Those guys need contracts. Yeah. And they're gonna demand a big dollar.
They are, and they're probably a bigger focus for Cheveldayoff than Ladd might be.
I think so. At the moment,
especially than Byfuglien, because let's face it, as crucial and as crushing as Byfuglien is, he does make a lot of bad decisions very often.
Yeah.
Case in point, when he drove Perry's head into the ice after he scored during the playoffs last year.
To me,
terrible decision.
To me, it comes down to this. Byfuglien and Ladd are both basically 30 years old. 30 years old is kind of where your career as a hockey player, for most hockey players, starts to go downhill.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a player like Jerome Iginla, who's been phenomenal for so long and so outstanding, you can keep it up and you can continue to be productive and useful. Your numbers still go down, but because your numbers were so high to begin with, that you can live with that drop-off and you're still a useful player.
Yeah.
You look at Jaromír Jágr, right?
He's an oddity.
He's an oddity, yes. But guys like Scheifele and Trouba, they're really in their youth. Their best years are ahead of them. So I think that you're more interested in getting those best years than you are the remaining years of a very talented veteran player. And two guys in Ladd and Byfuglien that have pretty rough styles of hockey, and their bodies are giving up on them. They're certainly going to start giving up on them soon.
So you're saying the question is, how long do they last, and is it worth what they're going to be asking
That's
for?
That's exactly it.
And you hit the nail right on the head.
Here's the thing. I think that you can sign them to big dollars. I don't have a problem with that. The term is the concern for me. If you're going to sign them to big dollars, you got to make sure that it's like a 2 or 3 year term at most.
I think even two.
But the thing is, I know that guys like Byfuglien and Ladd, especially at this point in their career, they want to get locked up long term. They want to get this career, this contract they're getting now, they want it to be for the rest of their career.
Yeah, Ladd's going to want to retire off of he's probably looking to last contract. He probably wants to sign like a five or six year deal. Yeah.
Exactly.
Something like 30, just like Ryan Kessler 30 just did. Schmil, you know? Something like that, yeah.
So, and that's tough because I really like both those guys. And actually, I love the team the way it is right now. I'd like to see this team stick together forever.
But that's sports, though. It doesn't happen that way.
I know.
But anyway, I think we got to move on. We're running out of time. We should probably touch on the Bombers right quick. Maybe we'll just do this in a couple sentences here. The Bombers had a chance to keep their playoff hopes alive. They lost to a very, very powerful Ottawa Red Blacks team, and Henry Burris pretty much systematically tore us apart in that game last Saturday. And so we lost by a touchdown, 27-20. And we're not mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, but what kind of chance do you think that we have?
Here's my review of the game between the Red Blacks and the Bombers. Henry Burris is good at football.
Henry Burris is very good at football.
He's a very good football player.
We have to win against Toronto, which is a feat all on its own. Mm-hmm. So we've got a bye coming up this weekend.
So we're
we don't
gonna,
play.
Bombers going to sit back and watch.
Yeah, sit back and watch. And if the Lions win, or if the Alouettes win, we're done.
Mm-hmm. And then they play again next week, too.
And then they play. Yeah, so both teams right now are one win ahead of us. So they need to lose
both games.
Four games need to be lost, and we need to win against Toronto. The odds are stacked against us. However, it's obviously not impossible.
It's not impossible. I got to be honest. I kind of hope that BC or Toronto or Montreal just wins, because I just want us to be put out of our misery.
Yeah, I mean,
I just want to stop talking about it. This year's a write-off, in my opinion. There was potential this year. When Drew Lee went out, we were screwed, pretty much. And I actually thought there was a lot of good games and a lot of good things that we saw this year. And I think that we'll build upon it and improve next year. We won't have Marcel Bellefeuille as our offensive coordinator. I think he gets axed, which is a good thing.
I think that's unquestionable.
We're going to see a huge difference next year.
I like certain aspects of this team. Cameron Marshall's he's useless.
Well, we're still at Paris Cotton, and he might be back next season. We'll see what happens there. I don't love Paris Cotton, but
hopefully he can come back. I mean, he was good. There was flashes of talent from him.
For sure. More so than Cameron Marshall.
I like Nichols as a backup. I hope we can hold on to him, because at least then we know that we've got a competent quarterback.
Brian Brohm's played his last year of football, I think.
Maybe. Well, I don't want to comment on that. We've done enough Brohm bashing.
You know the crazy
show.
Thing about this is he's not even good at holding the football or during a field goal.
Yeah, I know. All right. Leave the poor guy alone. We know that you hate him.
Sometimes you need to beat a dead horse, man.
What else is good? There's Castillo. Castillo's good.
Yeah,
he missed a field goal last Saturday, but
Feel for Hyrolahu.
He's young. Yeah, I mean, I do too. He had a really great breakout season a couple years ago, but. I don't know.
Be interesting to see what happens next year in training camp between those two.
Yeah, I will.
Although I don't know that Castillo is competent when it comes to punting. And we know Hyrolahu is amazing. Like, he's a great punter.
Yeah.
No complaints about that from him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've done the dual kicker role before. I mean, we all remember Bob Cameron, right?
And there's lots of teams that still do it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, do you want to waste that extra roster spot that you could use somewhere else?
Maybe not.
Right? That's
Maybe
the
not.
Thing. How valuable is that extra roster spot to you? I don't think we can cut Hyrolahu with how great of a punter he is. The question is, can he get his field goal game on track?
Yeah.
So
I mean, those are things we'll have to wait for the off season.
I know, and we got a long ways to go.
And the training camp to figure out, but
not till May.
Another positive that I saw about this team was our receiving core. We've got a good group of receivers. Darvin Adams has potential.
Fantastic.
I think he's gonna blow up better than
Connor Stenmark. I'm going out there and saying right now. I think he's an immense talent. He's a taller receiver. He's maybe not as fast, but he makes moves. Darvin Adams is a great player.
Yeah, I wouldn't go so far as to say that he's better than Clarence Denmark. I mean, I've seen a few drops from Darvin Adams that were in and out of his hands, stuff that shouldn't happen. Clarence Denmark is that staple, right? He's that guy that the veteran guy that all the other receivers can kind of look up to.
I'm wrong about this, but I think the difference between Clarence Denmark and Darvin Adams is that Clarence Denmark is great at making running his routes, breaking away from the defender, and then he's got glue on his hands in that he catches everything.
Yeah.
Darvin Adams does a good job of breaking away from his defender, but his biggest thing, I think, is that he gets yak yards big time.
Yeah,
he catches that ball,
that he does.
And then he runs 20 yards
that
for a touchdown.
Does. Yeah. Most of the Denmark receptions are already deep.
And
you forgive him if he falls right away, because it's like,
well, dude,
you jumped for it. You won the battle. And you're 30 yards from scrimmage already. So.
Exactly.
So yeah, good things on the receiving core. Good things at quarterback.
And we've got hope on defense too.
Oh yeah. Oh no, the defense was my shining star all year.
Guys, like
the
Jamal
one thing
Westerman
that I could.
Returning?
Oh yeah. The one thing I could hold on to all season was that, hey, at least our defense is really, really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good things to. But I mean, this season's done.
I think so.
I'm calling it.
Do you think we'll be back here next week and saying, you know, this is what needs to happen for the Bombers to win and to make the playoffs?
Nope.
I don't think so either.
Nope. So. We might not even talk Bombers next week. We might not.
I wouldn't be sad.
To be perfectly honest.
I'm ready for this to die. It's unfortunate. I enjoyed the season. Had a lot of good times with the Bombers. Best of luck next year.
Yeah,
but
I had
over.
A great time interning for the Bombers. It was a really great experience being up in the press box, having my name on their website with game recaps and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Learned a lot from Kim Babich.
Yep.
Good times all around.
And I spent a lot of time with them in training camp. I learned a lot from the reporters I hung out with. I learned a lot from the guys on the team with Darren Cameron, Kim Babich. It's a really good time, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. It's a really good time.
Agreed. It was a good time. So, as promised in the intro, we do have a championship.
You had to wait all the way to the end.
Yeah. Save the best for last. We've got a championship team here in Winnipeg, and we're going to leave you with that clip. Me and Jordan caught up to one of the players, and I think we'll just let the clip speak for itself.
Yeah, for sure.
Everything's pretty much in there.
Little interview. Do we sign off now?
Yeah, we sign off now.
All right, peace out.
Nope, no peace out.
All right, we're here with Tanisha Lawson from, I'm sure, some kind of running game. What do you do?
It's soccer for the MCAC League. We had our championship weekend, so we had the semis on Saturday and finals on Sunday.
Jeez, that sounds like a lot of running.
Yeah, it's like 90 minutes, 45-minute halves, so 90-minute games with no subs because we only have one sub.
One sub?
Yeah, like we have no depth, so we have 13 players on the team, pretty much.
That's why your team picture was so small. I was like, there's five of you. How is this work?
I know. Such a small team. But that's what makes it so crazy that we actually won the championship. Because BU, like Brandon University that we played on Sunday, had a bench of maybe six, plus the 11 on the field.
Whereas you guys had one on your bench.
We had two.
Two, okay.
But one was a goalie, one was a sub goalie, and the other one was a striker.
Oh shit, okay. Yeah. So this league that you're in, like, is it national, is it provincial? Like, what's the deal? How many teams are?
So for the schools in Manitoba, you have the CIS, which means you play university colleges around the country, and then MCAC, which is the league that I'm in, you play colleges and universities in Manitoba.
Okay.
So we don't travel anymore, it's just Manitoba based. So,
you're not like hardcore champions right now, you're just like Manitoba champions.
It's still a pretty big deal.
Is it a big deal? Yeah.
It is a big deal, especially because Red River's never won a championship before, or a soccer championship.
You know, I didn't even know that they had a sports program. No, yeah. I'm kidding. I knew they had a sports program. I didn't know they had a soccer team.
Yeah.
Let's be real here. I don't feel like a lot of people in this city think that Red River College as like a athletic kind of institution.
No, not at all.
Is there a men's soccer team?
Yep, there's a men's.
Really?
But they
See, that's
lost.
Totally news to me.
Yeah, they lost in semis. I forget who they lost. Providence College, I think, is who they lost to.
So you guys played Brandon University for the final?
Finals.
Right? Did you guys get a cup? What do you get?
Yep, we get it's like a trophy that they have for a certain number of years, and then you just get your team of the year on it. So we get to keep it for a certain period of time, but then it goes back to like the MCAC, whatever.
Okay.
So it means next year, whoever wins it, they get the same trophy with their name engraved on it. But we all got ribbons and a banner that we get to keep.
Cool. So did you guys drink booze out of the cup then?
That's the most important question. It's not an actual cup. It's just like a soccer ball, and there's like a net around it. So.
Soccer ball with a net around it. Hmm. Okay.
But I wish it was a cup because I would drink out of it. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's the best part of celebrating being champions is when you get to drink out of a cup.
Just to get a cup. Yeah.
I mean, all the real sports have cups. I'm kidding. I'm just playing.
That is so not true.
Well, you know, I mean, hockey and CFL, they both have cups that you might know.
But soccer's like, it's such a, like, people don't actually realize how physical soccer is. Like, it is a...
Tell me about it.
Like, you can have, you can have contact. So you know how, like, hockey, you can check people to remove them from the puck? Mm-hmm. You can pretty much do that in soccer.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're throwing some elbows and...
Of course. Yeah. And then you can also slide tackle. As long as you have contact with the ball, it's game.
Yeah.
Like, you're allowed to do that. Yeah. Like, it's
straight
cheaper.
Taking people out, fucking them up.
And as the goalie, you can get away with a lot. And I know that because I was a goalie for, like, 4 years.
There you go.
Goalie can do whatever they want.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
It's great.
And they even tell you too, like, goalies, when you, if the ball's coming towards you, you're supposed to go up with your knees and your elbows out.
Yeah, elbows. That's what I love.
Yeah.
So you were saying earlier that you had to shadow their best player. How was that?
Yeah. Okay, so number 11, her name is Aziza. And it's funny because the first time we played them, I'm still recovering from a hip flexor injury. So since it was a game that didn't mean anything, I sat. And then we beat them 2-1. Then we played them again, and since we saw that their best player was Aziza, all their assists, all their goals were from her.
Only.
So they were like, we need to put somebody on her all the time. No matter where she is, you need to be like hip, or what do you call it, touch tight to her. So then the second time that we played them, I did that. She touched the ball 3 times in the game, had no impact, and we beat them, I think it was like 2-0.
And that's because you are actually the greatest female soccer player in the country.
Not exactly.
No? Not exactly.
I'm a strong defender for the MCAC League, let's just say that. So she's like super good player, super talented, good ball skills. She can shoot a shot from anywhere, like good leg. And then...
Good leg.
So it's funny because, like, I was next to her the whole entire time, and it was funny because she was getting so pissed off at me. Like, she's putting her elbow to my neck because that's how close I am to her. Like, she's like, get off me kind of thing.
No way.
And I get it, but like, I don't want to be next to you because if I take her out of the game, I take myself out of the game too, right? Like, so it sucks for me and it sucks for you. So halfway through the game, after she has her, like, elbow at my throat, I'm like, this sucks for me, it sucks for you. Like, I just said, take it as a compliment that you need to have somebody man mark you the entire game. I just said, like, I don't even get to play the game. I don't get to play the game and you don't get to play the game. But anyway, so then after semis on Saturday, she got, like, MVP of the game or whatever. And I was joking that I would, like, walk up next. Like, when she receives her award, I'll just be next to her because I've been next to her the whole entire
time. That's great.
Yeah. But then this game, too, she started off strong. She had, like, 3 touches in the first half. But in the finals, I have more fitness than she does. So I could run the full 90 minutes, but she was exhausted. Like, I could tell.
Hmm.
So it was easy to mark her in the second half. But the first half, she was strong.
How many kilometers do you think you ran over the weekend?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. It feels like I ran at least like 20. Like, I'm feeling it.
Yeah, maybe 20 kilometers? More, like, that's insanity.
I don't even know. Oh yeah, and I have to tell you guys that I got a yellow card. I'm super proud of it.
Oh, please tell the story. I gotta know.
And I wish I could say that it was from slide tackling some girl in the 18-yard box and got a goal from it or something, but it was from talking too much shit.
No way. What kind of shit were you talking?
Okay. So in the first like 10 minutes, there was probably 16 million fouls. And like as a referee, if there's unnecessary fouls, you have to put people in their place, right? So the same girls were giving the same fouls to people on my team. And I was getting pissed because we all have injuries. We're all exhausted because we just played a game yesterday.
Yeah.
And the ref wasn't putting anybody in her place. So like that Aziza girl's pulling on the back of my jersey. She's slide tackling somebody. Like I just kept telling the ref, like, you need to do something about this because somebody's going to get hurt. And this is the MCAC league. It's not World Cup. Like,
right.
You know, like. Anyway,
there's a few degrees of separation between MCAC and the World Cup.
Just a little bit, right? But yeah, no, it was just pissing me off because like somebody's gonna get hurt. We only have one sub, like we can't afford that, so we can't have shitty fouls.
Right.
So then I guess he had enough of me talking, and he's like, "Number 14, get over." He's like, "You've been doing this, like putting his hand out, like the talking way. You've been doing a lot of this, and that's all you've been doing." And then he's like, "I don't want to hear anything else from you." So he turns around and walks away. And then my coach is like, and I should have put two and two together and like just kept my mouth shut. But my coach is like, "Tanisha, what's happening out there?" And I was like, "Oh, it's just a bloodbath." And then the ref turned around. He's like, "That's it." And he rips the yellow card out of his pocket and gave me a yellow card.
That's it? I thought you were going to like say that you like told him off or something. That's all you did, eh? Just it's a bloodbath and he fucked you up for it.
Man. So it's funny because all the girls on the team are like hashtag bloodbath like to everything. But then 2 seconds later, the same girl, I forget which girl it is, but she's like the blonde girl. The same girl slide tackles a girl from behind, doesn't get the ball. And we're all like, "You're not going to give a card for that." And then after like our coach and everybody on the team started like razzing the ref, he finally gave her a yellow card, but he wasn't going to. Like if we weren't pissed about it, he would just let her get away with that. And it's like, somebody's going to get hurt. Like it's not worth it.
Wow, shitty reffing in Winnipeg sports games. Big surprise.
He was awful. And then at the end of the game, he's like, he shakes my hand. He's like, "Good game, 14. I'm like, "Don't even, like, we're not cool." Like, I don't know why you're acting like we're cool. Like, you just gave me a yellow card. I'm not going to talk to you.
We're not cool. Yeah. I like that. Awesome. Yeah.
If I didn't want to end the game with class, I probably wouldn't even, like, shook his hand at the end. Like,
but you're a classy gal, so you shook his hand.
Gotta keep it classy, you know.
There you go. Really, Jordan, you got any questions for me?
Nope, just where do you keep the trophy?
We've got a champion in our midst.
Yeah.
Where do you keep the trophy?
I have no idea where to keep the trophy. Like, right now we have it at the Notre Dame campus.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out for drinks last night, so we got to keep it on the table and stuff. But I don't know where it goes after that.
You should try to bring it here. That way our campus can also revel in your glory. We can all kind of live vicariously. Yeah.
Entire day.
There you go. That way at least the media pros can revel in or live vicariously through you.
Yeah, and it's quite interesting because CRECOMS, I don't think the last CRECOM to play soccer was about, I think it was 7 years ago, and it was a guy. And then after that, like, there's been no other CRECOMs in playing sports because they just don't recommend it.
Hmm. Like, yeah, I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I feel good to be, like, a CRECOM that played sports and win a championship all my graduation year. Like, it's a huge thing for me, I don't know.
And doing your homework, and I'm assuming getting decent marks because you're still here.
And it was funny because last night, after we won the championship, everybody's like, "We're going do like 2 hours of homework and then we're going out for drinks." And then I had that marketing assignment or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "Okay, I'm doing homework." And then we had to do a group edit. So I brought my laptop to dinner, to Boston Pizza, hook up the Wi-Fi, did one more edit and like handed it in or whatever. But I don't know, it's the beauties of being a student athlete, I guess.
Multitasking athletic soccer champion of the world, Tanisha Lawson joining us.
Maybe just a Winnipeg MCAC.
I can't glorify you,
but,
on that. Come on.
Oh, champion of the world. I'll take it.
Yeah, champion of the world. Okay, cool. Thanks, Nisha.
Yeah. No problem.